Every time you delete a file on your computer, your hard drive, it actually gets physically hotter.
Yeah, it really
I
does.
mean, it's a tiny, almost imperceptible shift in temperature, but it's a measured, hard reality of physics. Information like literal data, a collection of zeros and ones, actually has a physical weight and a temperature.
Right, it's not just abstract.
Exactly. Welcome to the deep dive. We're conditioned from the moment we learn to speak to point at things and give them a name, a noun. We look at the universe as this giant box holding all these nouns, chairs, stars, electrons, gigabytes. But today we are going to completely rewire how you think about artificial intelligence, quantum physics, and the literal physical horsepower of meaning itself.
It requires a massive ontological shift. I mean, we are taking a single premise from a newly proposed theoretical framework and tracing its consequences from, the software running on our servers all the way down to a complete rewrite of how the universe fundamentally operates.
And our source code for this shift is this dense, incredibly provocative text file we got our hands on. It's titled Chat Learning Functions in Samples.txt, and it outlines a framework called Conditional Collapse Theory, or CCT.
Yes, CCT.
Okay, let's unpack this. The core argument running through this entire document is that science has kind of hit a wall because we are obsessed with nouns. We view reality as a collection of static things. The text argues that to truly understand the universe, or to build a machine that can understand it, we have to start looking at the world as a collection of processes.
We have to view reality as a system of verbs.
Right, verbs, not nouns.
And to understand the sheer scale of that shift, we really have to look at how we are currently attempting to manufacture intelligence. Before we can redefine the universe as a process, we have to redefine how our machines perceive it.
Makes sense.
So, traditional machine learning, the architecture powering the large language models and predictive algorithms we use every day, is stubbornly feature-centric. It's totally obsessed with nouns. It ingests millions of static data points, these frozen snapshots of reality, and asks a very basic question, like, which static features statistically predict this label?
It's essentially a brute force matching game, right? It's mapping inputs to outputs without ever asking why those inputs exist in the first place. I was trying to visualize this, and it feels like taking a million high-speed photographs of a thrown baseball.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Traditional machine learning takes all those exact coordinates, feeds them into a neural network, and memorizes the arc so it can guess where the ball will be in the next millimeter of the photograph. But the CCT document proposes something called functional superposition learning, or FSL. And FSL wouldn't care about a million coordinates. It would watch the baseball move for like a fraction of a second and just try to learn the law of gravity.
Exactly. Taking that analogy further, traditional ML requires a blank slate of billions of random parameters, slowly tweaking them until the math just happens to align with the pictures of the baseball. But FSL completely discards that approach.
It doesn't use the blank slate at all.
No, instead of a blank slate, an FSL system maintains a probability distribution over a specific set of candidate functions. It essentially holds a vast library of mathematical verbs in its memory simultaneously.
Wow.
Yeah, it's holding linear functions, periodic functions, exponential decay rates, and conservation laws all at once.
So it holds all of those possible physics engines in superposition.
Yeah.
It's keeping all potential processes active until it knows which one is right.
Right, and because it's searching for an underlying law rather than just memorizing data points, it's staggeringly efficient. I mean, it doesn't need a million samples of the baseball. It only needs 10 to 100 snapshots of a trajectory.
That's a massive difference.
It really is. It uses those samples to collapse that massive functional uncertainty down to the single governing rule.
But wait, how is it doing that without just brute forcing the math? I mean, if the AI is holding thousands of potential physical laws in its architecture, scanning through every single one to see which one fits the baseball's arc would require an immense amount of compute. It has to have a way to narrow down the possibilities efficiently, doesn't it?
It does. The source text outlines a very specific mechanism for this called the question TSP. It's an intentional nod to the traveling salesperson problem.
Oh, right, where you try to find the shortest route between cities.
Exactly. In standard computer science, the TSP is about finding the absolute shortest physical route connecting a set of cities. But in functional superposition learning, the algorithm is trying to find the shortest logical route through uncertainty.
Oh, I see.
The cities are the candidate functions, and the distance is semantic entropy. The amount of uncertainty in the system. So the AI actively probes the incoming data by asking highly targeted binary questions designed to destroy the maximum amount of entropy with the least amount of computational work.
So it isn't testing functions one by one. It's looking at the moving baseball and asking something like, is the derivative constant? Meaning, you know, is the speed of this object unchanging?
Yes. And if the data says yes, the speed is unchanging, the AI instantly collapses its probability distribution. It just discards every single exponential, periodic, and quadratic function in its library, collapsing purely toward a linear function.
It just chops off huge branches of possibilities at once.
Right. And if it asks, is the total magnitude conserved? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes. It collapses toward a conservation law. It is actively carving away the incorrect laws of physics.
Think about the practical application of this for a moment. We're constantly hearing about the limitations of current AI, how it hallucinates, how it doesn't actually know anything, how it's just a statistical parrot. Imagine an AI running on FSL.
It completely changes the game.
It really does. It isn't blindly predicting the next word or number based on a black box weighting system. It's explicitly deducing the cause and effect. It replaces billions of opaque, unreadable parameters with pure, explicit functional math.
It shifts artificial intelligence from a state of rote memorization to a state of mechanical comprehension. It's actually learning the underlying generative laws of the data.
And if this text stopped there, I mean, it would be a fascinating white paper on next-generation software architecture. But the CCT framework pivots entirely. Here's where it gets really interesting. It takes this core thesis that true intelligence requires viewing data as a dynamic superposition of functions and points it at the most notoriously confusing branch of science in human history.
Quantum mechanics.
Exactly. If artificial intelligence becomes vastly more capable by viewing reality as verbs rather than static nouns, the document argues that standard physics has been making the exact same error for a century.
Yes, because standard quantum mechanics is built on a very specific interpretation of the wave function. It tells us that before a particle is measured, it exists in a static superposition of states. It's a noun that is somehow everywhere at once.
The classic illustration is the electron cloud, right? The idea that an electron isn't a tiny planet orbiting a nucleus, but like a smeared out probability mist. It's physically distributed across multiple positions.
Right. But conditional collapse theory directly challenges that ontology. Under CCT, we apply the exact same logic we just used for the AI. The wave function is not a particle in the static superposition of places.
Okay.
It is a particle in a dynamic superposition of potential behaviors. Mm. The technical term the text uses is a superposition of candidate ordinary differential equations, or ODEs.
Wait, okay, let's look at the most famous thought experiment in physics. Schrodinger's cat in the box with the radioactive isotope. Standard quantum theory implies the cat is literally in a static state of being dead and alive simultaneously, which honestly has never intuitively made sense to anyone.
No, it hasn't.
So under the CCT framework, you're saying the cat isn't dead and alive. The system is actually evolving via a superposition of different decay functions.
I love how you phrase that, yes. The distinction there is fundamental. The particle, or the cat, isn't everywhere. It is everyhow.
Everyhow. Wow.
Before you open the box to check on the cat, the system is holding multiple potential trajectories of how the future could unfold. It's holding all those mathematical verbs in superposition, just like the FSL algorithm.
The universe is holding candidate functions.
It completely eradicates the famous measurement problem in physics. Because the paradox of quantum collapse has always been the bizarre idea that the simple act of looking at a particle somehow forces it to snap into a physical location out of nowhere.
Right, which sounds like magic.
Exactly. But under CCT, measurement isn't freezing a static state. Measurement forces the dynamic system to reveal which ODE trajectory it was actually following all along. Measurement selects a history.
Oh, I get it. You're forcing the universe to answer the question TSP.
You are forcing reality to commit to a specific governing law.
So, if an AI reducing uncertainty to learn a function and a quantum system collapsing to select a physical trajectory are actually the exact same mechanical process, well, that implies that information and physical reality are completely intertwined.
It builds a direct load-bearing bridge between information theory and non-equilibrium thermodynamics.
Which leads into the concept of the thermodynamics of meaning.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is where the framework gets incredibly physical.
And this is where we need to tread carefully, because the thermodynamics of meaning sounds like philosophy. It sounds totally abstract. But the document treats semantic entropy, the literal amount of meaning or certainty you have about a system, as having strict thermodynamic consequences.
It strips meaning of its philosophical baggage and turns it into a physical currency. In this framework, when a system collapses from functional uncertainty down into a state of meaning, into a specific law, that process actually interacts with physical energy.
To ground this, the text outlines theoretical hardware we could build using this principle. The one that really stood out to me was the physics detecting sensor, or a functional interferometer. Normally, we think of sensors as just reading a noun. A thermometer reads 72 degrees. A speedometer reads 60 miles per hour. Let's say you have a traditional stress sensor on an airplane wing.
Yeah.
It monitors the metal and triggers an alert when the metal physically bends by, say, 2 millimeters. It requires a physical change in state to register a problem.
Which means it's waiting for the material to actively fail before it alerts you.
Right.
But a functional interferometer operates entirely differently. Because reality is procedural, because it is governed by underlying functions, this sensor detects physics drift. It monitors the superposition of behaviors in the metal. It doesn't wait for the wing to bend.
So what does it do?
It explicitly alerts the pilot, hey, the actual laws of physics governing this metal just shifted from linear elasticity to damage accumulation. It notices that the verb has mutated before the physical noun breaks.
Because it's measuring the governing law, not the physical artifact of that law. That's incredible. And it goes further than sensors. It outlines law collapsing computers. Super Boolean quantum processors. If a normal computer bit is a noun, a zero or a one problem, I'm assuming a super Boolean bit isn't holding a static number at all. It must be holding an operation.
Exactly. A super Boolean bit is a superposition of logic gates. Instead of holding a one or a zero, it holds a superposition of AND, OR, and XOR operations. In a traditional computer, you write a fixed architectural program and force your data through that maze to get a result.
Sure.
A super Boolean processor reverses that. You load the problem into the system, and the computer collapses its own logical architecture to find the most efficient path.
It effectively builds the maze around the mouse, so the mouse is automatically standing next to the cheese.
Yes. It computes by selecting the laws of physics that solve the problem the fastest. The text makes it clear. It achieves this by spending physical work to reduce semantic entropy.
Wait, I have to stop you right there. We are crossing a line here that needs serious pushback. We've been talking about computing paths and reducing entropy, but the document takes this to an extreme. It outlines something called a semantic heat engine.
Right.
It claims we can extract literal physical horsepower from meaning. Are you seriously saying that the abstract concept of knowing the rule of the system can physically push a piston or spin a turbine? Because, I mean, that sounds like pseudoscience. Energy comes from combustion or gravity or splitting atoms. It doesn't come from meaning.
I know. It sounds impossible until we ground it in the very hard physics we opened this deep dive with. Remember Landauer's principle?
Refresh my memory.
Rolf Landauer proved definitively in the 1960s that the act of erasing a bit of information-destroying data carries a minimum unavoidable thermodynamic cost. It physically releases heat. Your hard drive getting hotter when you delete a file is proof that information is intrinsically linked to thermodynamics. The CCT framework simply takes Landauer's principle to its logical conclusion.
So if deleting information costs heat energy,
then collapsing a functional superposition, moving a system from a state of high functional uncertainty into a state of absolute semantic certainty, must release usable work.
Okay. Wow. Walk through the actual mechanics of this engine then. A traditional car engine has a four-stroke cycle, right? Intake, compression, power, exhaust. It compresses a physical gas and ignites it. How does the semantic Carnot cycle physically extract work from uncertainty?
The semantic Carnot cycle also relies on a four-stage process. But the fuel isn't gas. The fuel is the probability space of the system. Let's look at the crucial stages. Stage one is the explore phase. The engine intentionally injects semantic noise into the working fluid. It scrambles the system to vastly broaden the possibilities, forcing the particles into a massive superposition of potential physical laws.
So it's artificially creating maximum uncertainty. It's expanding the mathematical volume of the system.
Exactly. The system is now holding countless candidate functions. Then comes stage three, the collapse phase. The engine acts precisely like the FSL AI we talked about earlier. It executes the question TSP.
It starts asking questions.
Right. It asks the optimal sequence of binary questions to force the system to commit to a single underlying function. And because moving from a state of massive semantic entropy to a state of strict certainty forces a reduction in the system's phase space, that transition physically releases energy. The engine extracts that informational collapse as mechanical work.
But why would anyone build this? Boiling water to spit a turbine is incredibly well understood and easy. What is the advantage of engineering a system to extract work from semantic collapse? The text specifically outlines a mathematical advantage called the meaning bonus, doesn't it?
Yes, the meaning bonus is the entire reason this theoretical engine outperforms classical mechanics. A traditional steam engine is strictly bound by the temperature difference between its hot and cold reservoirs. It just extracts work from random thermal motion. But the CCD text derives a new equation for the network of a semantic engine. The equation includes an additional multiplier gamma times structural information.
What does that actually mean in practice?
It means you aren't just sorting random static values. You are discovering the structural laws of the system. When you collapse the superposition and determine that the system is obeying, say, a harmonic oscillator function, that rule gives you immense, pristine predictive power over the future states of those particles.
So you know exactly what they're going to do next.
Exactly. That structural certainty, the meaning, allows you to extract a massive surplus of work that a traditional blind thermodynamic engine simply cannot access.
If this is accurate, the CCT framework just solved one of the oldest and most frustrating paradoxes in physics.
Maxwell's demon.
Yes, Maxwell's demon. For context for you listening, Maxwell's demon is a thought experiment from 1867. Imagine a tiny demon guarding a microscopic door between two rooms filled with gas. The demon watches the gas molecules. Whenever a fast, hot molecule approaches, the demon opens the door to let it into the right room. When a slow, cold molecule approaches, it lets it into the left room. Eventually, without doing any apparent physical work, the demon creates a hot room and a cold room out of a previously lukewarm system. That temperature difference can then be used to power an engine, which entirely breaks the second law of thermodynamics.
Physicists have argued for over a century about why the demon can't exist. Usually, the argument is that the demon has to spend energy to look at the molecules or erase its own memory.
But under the CCT framework, the demon isn't breaking the laws of physics at all. The demon is just operating a semantic heat engine. It's injecting semantic noise, executing the question TSP to measure the trajectories of the particles, and paying for those measurements with work. It's extracting energy from the semantic certainty of knowing which laws the individual particles are following.
It treats information, structural meaning, and thermodynamic energy as a single, fully unified currency. The demon is just an incredibly efficient information processor running on functional superposition learning.
So, what does this all mean? If we trace the through line of everything we've uncovered today, we started with the idea that our obsession with static nouns is holding back our understanding of reality. We looked at how artificial intelligence can become exponentially more powerful by learning the underlying functions, the verbs generating the data, rather than just memorizing the outputs.
And we saw how the bizarre paradoxes of quantum mechanics evaporate if a wave function is simply a superposition of potential physical behaviors waiting to be collapsed by measurement.
You're right. And we just broke down how the act of collapsing that uncertainty into meaning has a literal thermodynamic weight that can theoretically spin a turbine.
The synthesis of these fields points to a reality that isn't a museum of objects obeying arbitrary rules. Reality is an active, continuous process of physical laws selecting themselves. Under this framework, intelligence is not the accumulation of facts. True intelligence is the ability to hold functions in superposition, execute the question TSP, and efficiently convert semantic certainty into adaptive physical behavior.
If everything we just talked about is true, if figuring out the rules of the universe fundamentally releases energy and governs the progression of time, then what does that say about the origin of the universe itself? I mean, we can't talk about engines extracting meaning from entropy without looking at the biggest thermodynamic event in history.
That is the ultimate consequence of the source material. The text concludes with the CCT cosmological hypothesis. If meaning and physical dynamics are fundamentally the exact same thing, the Big Bang was not just a physical explosion of matter and thermal heat.
What was it then?
The Big Bang was the universe in a state of absolute maximum functional superposition.
Wait, it was an explosion of pure semantic noise?
Yes. Every possible law of physics, every potential metric of gravity, every conceivable constant existed simultaneously as a potentiality. And cosmic evolution, the literal progression of time over the last 14 billion years, is just the universe gradually understanding itself.
The universe is executing its own question TSP.
It is slowly collapsing the massive functional uncertainty of the early cosmos down into the single, highly structured set of physical laws we currently experience. The universe is a giant semantic heat engine, cooling down by finding meaning.
Which casts a completely different light on the eventual end of the universe. We always hear about the heat death of the universe, the point trillions of years from now when the stars burn out, all the physical heat dissipates, and everything goes dark and frozen. But under the CCT hypothesis, heat death isn't just about temperature.
No. Heat death is the moment semantic entropy hits absolute zero. It is the moment the universe has completely collapsed all functional uncertainty. All questions have been answered. The mathematical rulebook is completely rigid, and no further meaning can ever be extracted from the system. Time effectively stops because there is no more uncertainty left to process.
We started today talking about how we're conditioned from childhood to see the world as a container full of nouns. But if this document is right, we are living inside an ongoing verb. We are part of a universe that is actively computing its own existence, paying for reality with the physical thermodynamic weight of meaning, something to chew on the next time you look up at the stars.